Right, so Israel's UN ambassador, Danny Dannon, appeared on Sky News to state that the West Bank is not occupied land. It's our land. Apparently, international law now comes with a biblical opt-out clause. Then Israeli forces took over the UNRWA centre in Calandia, a Palestinian village in the West Bank, removed all of the staff, and Ben-Gavir sat in the director's chair to declare on my shift there is no UNRWA, like a scene from the capital on January 6th. Not exactly a great moment for Danny to make his point land, though, is it? Especially when you notice what his government is quietly preparing for next. Before we get to Ben-Gavir strutting around somebody else's office as if he owns the place, let's listen to Danny Dannon present his little argument.
Good to see you this evening. Be interesting to get your thoughts on Diana's report there and the fact that the UK government has told UK firms not to engage in economic activity with West Bank settlements.
Well, I think we saw another one-sided report. Unfortunately, it's not the first time we see it coming from Sky News that ignore the entire facts. We have rights to the land. It's not occupied land. This is our land. I can go back to the British mandate for Palestine or the Balfour Declaration. And basically, we have legal rights to the land. We have historical rights to the land. We even have biblical rights to the land. So to call us settlers in our own land, it's a disgrace. You know. But let's look about the facts and about the future. The Jewish community in Judea and Samaria are not going anywhere. They will stay there with the Palestinian communities. The question what you do to allow both communities to prosper, to live in stability, in security. And I think all the talk we hear now coming from the UK and other European countries, you know, applying sanctions or threatening the Israeli government, it's not going to actually support what's happening on the ground. The bottom line, you have more than 2 million Palestinians living in Judea and Samaria. You have more than 500,000 Jews who live there, cities, communities, not the outposts you just show in your report. I'm talking about families, communities, big cities, and they will stay there. The question is what we do to make sure that both populations live safely there.
Yeah.
So that's his position, as stated in his Arnold Schwarzenegger knockoff voice, all very Middle Eastern, I'm sure. The West Bank isn't occupied Israel's land. Jewish people have historical rights, biblical rights, and so Israelis living there cannot be considered settlers. Well, that seems to settle international law then. Somebody please call The Hague. They better let them know that Danny Dannon has spoken. All those lawyers and courts and UN resolutions, the decades of diplomacy, they can all go home now since Danny Dannon has found a religious text and decided it works as a property deed with extra commandments that Moses evidently must have dropped. Of course, Jewish history exists in that land. That's undeniable. But so does Christian history, Muslim history. Palestinian history exists there, of course, and continuously at that. And Palestinians are not just an afterthought that showed up in the last week here. Both peoples have deep roots in the land. The move Dannon makes is to treat one history as ownership and the other as a problem. And, well, we have a name for that sort of thing, don't we? Many peoples have historic, religious and cultural ties to places they don't own today. Human history is filled with conquest and migration and settlement and expulsion and borders being redrawn by whichever empire is strongest at the time. And then they disappear again because no empire has a right to exist. No state does, just people. Movement of people has happened for as long as people have basically existed. Otherwise, we'd all still be living in Africa, wouldn't we? Tell that to the next migrant basher that crops up on your doorstep. You can't just select your preferred century, can you? Point to a religious connection and declare everyone living there now to be trespassers. Well, apparently you can. It's what Danny Dannon literally just did. But shouting Bible at the television doesn't actually change the law either. What he's doing is starting with the answers Israel's government wants and then working backwards. The land belongs to Israel, so it cannot be occupied. Therefore, the settlements cannot be illegal. Therefore, settlers cannot really be settlers. So, Palestinians being forced off their land, they're not really being dispossessed because the land was Israel's all along, wasn't it? Nice and tidy little circle, isn't it? Once you accept the first claim, everything else is made to sound like it's inevitable. That's why he insists on using terms like Judea and Samaria. Calling it the occupied West Bank immediately brings up difficult questions about occupation and settlements and Palestinian rights. Call it Judea and Samaria, though, suddenly Dannon's not defending a military occupation anymore. He's giving us a history lesson. and the checkpoints all disappear, and the military raids all disappear, the settler violence, that's all gone, the home demolitions, they're all gone, Palestinian farmers being forced off their land, no, we can't see any of those either. All of it disappears behind a biblical name, like a magic trick. Except, almost immediately after Danner finished insisting there is no occupation, Israel's own government provided a much more concrete example of what occupation actually really does look like. You see, yesterday, Israeli forces entered UNRWA's Calandia Training Centre in Kafr Akab, which is in occupied East Jerusalem. UNRWA staff were expelled and reportedly told not to return. More than 50 Israeli security personnel were reportedly involved in this. And then, as if drawn by the promise of more power like a fly to a rotting carcass, in walks Itamar Ben-Gavir, who can never miss a chance to appear in the middle of a human rights controversy, complete with camera crew and a gurning grin. Body armour on, camera rolling, Ben-Gavir sits behind the director's desk like a Trump insurrectionist. And as per usual, he can't help but mouth off about it too, all whilst conveniently giving the entire game away because he conveniently lists all the different branches of the Israeli state that took part in it.
I am sitting here in what was the UNR director's office. He sat here, the director, managed. And thank God, on my watch, there is no UNRWA, no management. They will not be here. Police, the IDF, the Judea and Samaria border police, the prison services Metzada unit, everyone joined forces for a major operation. UNRWA out. And this place, in this place, there will be a school for children. Anyone who supports terrorism must be expelled in disgrace. That's how it is in the State of Israel.
So there you have it then. The police, all of them, according to Ben-Gavir, they all joined in. This wasn't just a handful of settlers acting on their own then. It wasn't Ben-Gavir doing some improv here either, even though he does like to claim every single harsh action Israel takes was his very own idea. No, this was a full-on state operation, wasn't it? The police, the army, the border police, the prison service, and there's Ben-Gavir relaxing in the office, telling the previous management not to bother coming back. That does make for a bit of a problem for Danny Dannon now then, doesn't it? Dannon wants to argue about words, and then Ben-Gavir gives us video footage and pontification from behind a desk. Armed Israeli forces entered premises used by UNRWA, UN property as that is, of course, and under the Convention on the Privileges and Immunities of the United Nations, UN premises are inviolable. UN property and assets are protected from search and seizure and confiscation or other state interference, and that protection doesn't simply disappear because Israel disputes who actually owns the site. UN legal guidance states that even rented premises can remain inviolable while being used by the organisation. And yet the staff were kicked out, and an Israeli minister then sat inside and declared the organisation finished. So you can use any biblical name you want for the territory. What happened inside that building is still as clear as day. Israel says it is enforcing legislation banning UNRWA activity. It's also presented an ownership claim linked to the Jewish National Fund, incidentally. And UNRWA says, of course, that this is still a United Nations facility, which it is, protected by international privileges and immunities. The UN says its premises are inviolable. Well, the UN can jump up and down and have a merry fit, can't they? They're completely bloody useless here. They're utterly toothless. Nobody's going to step in on their behalf and enforce this. The centre served about 16,000 Palestinian refugees. This was not just an argument about flags or a minister making a video from someone else's desk either, making the UN's patheticness all the more blatant. For the people who depended on that centre, though, the immediate result was staff expelled, a UN facility now under armed Israeli control, and no certainty about when or if its services could resume, though I think we could probably hazard an educated guess. People seeking help don't see this as a legal debate. They encounter locked doors and then soldiers, and another service that's been suddenly taken away from them by their occupiers. That's occupiers, Danny. Five Palestinians were also reportedly injured by gunfire nearby. And Ben-Gavir says a school will now be built there for children. Well, how generous, how truly touching. It won't be Palestinian ones, though, will it? Expel the organisation serving thousands of Palestinian refugees, seize the building, and then claim it's for the children. It's like stealing somebody's dinner and expecting a thank you because you left them with the cutlery. Israel's foreign ministry says the municipality has started work on what they call an education and community complex. You'd never guess that armed forces had just stormed in, expelled all the staff, and handed Ben-Gavir the keys for his latest on-camera appearance for something so innocently named, would you? The UN says this was the fifth unauthorised Israeli entry into the centre since May. Well, you're clearly doing a lot to stop them then, aren't you? So even if you accepted Israel's ownership claim as genuine, and there's no reason the UN should, repeated forced entry does not prove ownership. It just shows who has the power. And it ain't the UN, is it? Netanyahu's also said the takeover began on his instruction too. So Ben-Gvir might be the one smiling behind the desk and taking the credit, but this is not just Ben-Gvir acting alone while supposed moderates look away in embarrassment here. Netanyahu says he ordered it. And then Dannon then defends the wider claim abroad. The International Court of Justice reached a very different conclusion from Danny Dannon, however, all the way back in July of 2024 now, you might recall. Because they said Israel's continued presence in the occupied Palestinian territory is unlawful. Said Israel must end settlement activity and evacuate settlers. That was an advisory opinion, of course. It wasn't a team of international judges arriving in Jerusalem with a locksmith. More's the pity. And it doesn't come with its own enforcement arm, of course, either, because it relies on other countries to enforce stuff, and they simply won't when it comes to Israel. Yet it still counts for something. The ICJ has stated what international law says, after all, that Israel's continued presence in the occupied territory is unlawful and its settlement policy must stop. That gives other states and UN bodies a clear legal position to act on. They can no longer pretend the law is unclear or undecided or just waiting for Danny Dannon to check the Book of Joshua first. But of course they do bugger all about it in the end of the day, don't they? The problem's not that the court was unclear. The problem is that enforcement depends on political will, and too many governments have chosen not to have any. But it remains the legal conclusion of the main court of the United Nations nevertheless. Dannon, we have to remember, is Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, of course. So there's something almost remarkable about being sent to represent your country at the UN, only to tell everyone that its court and its resolutions as legal terms are all wrong because you've brought your own book and they all have to abide by that. UN Security Council Resolution 2334 states that Israeli settlements in territory occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem, have no legal validity. Not questionable validity, not validity that appears if Dannon frowns hard enough on Sky News. No legal validity whatsoever. They have no right to the land, no right to be there at all. And yet, as Dannon tries to make occupation vanish with stern words and a serious face, even though people with that voice can't really be taken very seriously at all, the deranged Defence Minister Israel Katz is preparing to blur it through administration too. Katz has instructed the Israeli military to prepare a plan to transfer civilian law enforcement responsibilities involving West Bank settlements to Israeli police now. The transfer has not yet happened, but Katz has ordered the plan to be prepared. And even at the planning stage, the direction has to be taken note of. The West Bank's occupied territory. Israeli military administration is part of that occupation. Civilian police, on the other hand, usually enforce the domestic law of their own state. So moving responsibilities for Israeli settlers from the military to the Israeli police makes the settlements appear less like Israeli enclaves inside an occupied territory, and more like regular Israeli communities being handled by a regular domestic police force. But they're not regular Israeli communities, are they? And bringing in the police doesn't magically change the land's legal status, but it does show how Israel intends to treat it. Because who controls the Israeli police, after all? Well, they come under the remit of the National Security Ministry, don't they? Which is led by a certain Itamar Ben-Gvir, the very same person filming himself from the UNRWA director office's very own chair.
You're saying if I'm, let's say, in hypothetically, I'm driving my pink convertible down, you know, the road in Judea and Samaria somewhere on my way, I get pulled over for speeding, I go look out my window.
The police will pull you over, but a soldier will be next to him because the soldier represents the law enforcement, not the policeman. We have 500,000 citizens, Israeli citizens, residents who live in Judea and Samaria who are under military law for 60 years. Next year will be 60 years. It will allow the IDF to finally take care of what they should be taking care of, fighting terror and not giving out tickets.
And the third pillar of this question of sovereignty is the law enforcement. Maybe you can address the recent news that Israel, the defense minister, made a very dramatic statement just a few days ago saying that the police will now be taking over from the army.
Police or army, who should enforce the law? How should nearly a million Israeli citizens in Judea and Samaria be treated? Palestinians are barely mentioned except as the threatening group the army is still needing to control. Israeli settlers are citizens who should get civilian policing. Palestinians living in the same area remain under military rule. One place, two populations, two completely different relationships with the authority over their lives, or apartheid for short, of course. Katz reportedly explained this by saying the army should be fighting Palestinian terrorism, not chasing the so-called hilltop youth. And hilltop youth is one of those phrases that says a lot too, isn't it? It makes extremist settlers accused of attacking Palestinians and burning homes and setting up illegal outposts sound like a slightly unruly scout group who missed their ride home. rather than, in reality, of course, actual terrorists. Violent settlers get called youths, and Palestinians get soldiers to police them instead. Settlers get police protection and a government minister arguing that the land should be treated as sovereign Israel. Ben-Gvir himself has welcomed the proposed change as a step towards Israeli sovereignty. Well, he's not hiding the point, but then why would he? Ben-Gvir has never let subtlety get in the way of his ego. But it matters because it connects Dannon's words to government action. Dannon claims the territory is already Israel's land. Katz is preparing to move more settler enforcement further into Israel's civilian police system. And Ben-Gvir celebrates the change as an act of sovereignty. And then we see Israeli forces seize a UN facility, and then Ben-Gvir announced that the previous management is done. It's more than Israel saying one thing and doing another, isn't it? It's Israel saying the thing whilst doing the thing. And there's a broader warning too, because the approach now being reported may not stop at the West Bank. You see, Mondo Weiss has reported that the Israeli military moved 140 cattle into Wadi Tawem in southern Syria about 7 months ago now. And its investigation says the military helped set up fencing, including electrified sections around an Israeli settler operation there. Syrian farmers reportedly found themselves blocked from their own grazing land. If this investigation is correct, then a land seizure method developed in the West Bank is now appearing across another border, on Syrian land this time. That means this is not just about one farm or 140 cattle, it's about whether Israel's occupation model is becoming something that can be used elsewhere as well. Military support, fences, restricted access, local people gradually pushed out by Israel's far too fluid borders. For Syria, still trying to recover after years of war, having just had sanctions finally lifted on them by Trump, so investment in the state can now begin, it's a direct ongoing challenge to their sovereignty. And it's a sovereignty Israel doesn't want them to have because it wants Syria to remain destabilised. For the region, it suggests Israel's territorial ambitions do not end at the West Bank and that spectre of the Greater Israel plan is cropping up again. And it also shows the risk in Dannon's biblical claim too. Because if historical or religious entitlement overrides modern borders and the rights of people already living there, then where does that entitlement stop exactly? The edge of the West Bank, at occupied East Jerusalem, at the Syrian border? Dannon's argument doesn't really have a limit, does it? Where in the Bible did you get Syria too? Just includes whatever Israel claims, doesn't it? Backed by whatever Israel decides it's going to enforce. So Dannon can use all that biblical language he likes. He can rename the West Bank, he can deny the occupation, he can insist Israeli settlers can't be settlers. But there also sits Ben-Gvir as well, inside an UNRWA facility after armed Israeli forces expelled the staff, telling the camera the old organisation will never be coming back. Dannon managed to deny an occupation at the very moment his own government was busy providing all the photo evidence for it. When your state seizes a UN centre and expels the staff and starts policing occupied territory as if it's just another Israeli suburb, not occupied is no longer an argument. It's annexation so blatant it doesn't even bother to hide itself. If nothing else, Dannon has just made a prat of himself again, and if the UN had any real power at all here, it could start with telling Dannon to pack his bags and piss off home over it, but they won't. For more Middle Eastern madness initiated by the blue and white state that the mainstream will never tell you about, do stick with this channel for more. Another recommendation right here is your suggested next watch. Please do also hit like, share and subscribe if you haven't done so already, so as to ensure you don't miss out on all new daily content, as well as spreading the word and helping support the channel at the same time, which is very much appreciated. Holding power to account for ordinary working class people. And I'll hope to catch you on the next one. Cheers, folks. That makes for a little bit of a problem for Danny Dannon, therefore, doesn't it? Because Dannon wants to argue about words, and Ben-Gvir gives us video footage and pontification from behind a desk. Armed Israeli forces entered premises used by UNRWA, UN property as that is. I knew that was coming.